Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
People ask me, were you, you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 23, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. What's up? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 581 of the Biden-Harris administration, 76 days until the 22 midterms. I am on Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and of course, our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description. Oh, another gigantic news day, so let's bring him in.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Yep. Lock him up.
You've said it all.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
We're in a prosecutorial mood today.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Hi, Bob.
Hi,
everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And today, we've decided to represent ourselves.
Make attorneys get attorneys.
The Justice Department has learned so much going on, as Bob just indicated. Yeah. And the Justice Department has learned that Trump personally handled the classified documents that were stolen from the White House. Mm-hmm. How do they know this? Ketchup stains. Trump reportedly now believes a member of his own family blew the whistle on the stolen documents.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks somebody in the family might be wearing a wire, but he's got to stop demanding to strip search Ivanka. It's just wrong. The other day, Rudy Giuliani, speaking of gross, Rudy Giuliani sat for 6 hours of questions from a Georgia grand jury. 6 hours. Wow. You realize how hard that was when that whole time there was a bar across the street? And Lindsey Graham's testimony for that same grand jury has now been delayed. He needed time to buy more pearls.
Yeah.
And Dr. Anthony Fauci, the big news from yesterday, he says that come December, he's leaving government to pursue other interests.
Yeah.
One of those interests, beating up Ted Cruz.
So say we all. I think that's everyone's interest, yeah. Right?
And finally, we're still missing all those government texts from January 6th. Now, can you imagine how disappointed we'd all be if all the missing Secret Service messages said was, "Be sure to drink your Ovaltine"?
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Oh, yeah. Another classic. This is Mary in Ann Arbor and Rocky Mountain Mike. Yep.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and watch the news. Caught up in lies again, collusion is nothing new. Capital storm that night, almost lost our rights. Suitcase of evidence, crime after some crimes you can't ignore. I'm wanting to move ahead, investigating. I have heard I can't wait for some arrests. He says, go slow. I think he's behind. We're running out of time. If you've got what you need,
by this fall. You must catch him, I'll be waiting. Crime after crime. If you find the call logs or those burner phones. Crime after crime. If you fail, I will hate you for time that you're wasting. Crime after crime. Crime after crime. Crime after crime.
Yeah.
Crime after crime. Crime after crime.
Yeah. Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter. Classic. And so goddamn perfect for, oh my God, the hits keep coming, Buzz.
First two words I said to you today were, I'm dizzy. And it's because of everything. I mean, the world is whirling about us right now. And getting harder to keep up. I'm trying to help people on social media stay caught up because the events are dizzying.
Yes, they are. And the thing that I love most, and I can't stop repeating this, which is that, you know what? Ultimately, he could end up avoiding going to prison. I mean, we don't know. We can't tell the future. We don't know where this is headed necessarily. We've got some ideas. Mm-hmm. But the thing for me is anything that makes Donald Trump uncomfortable, anything that stresses him out, anything that makes him lose sleep, anything that ruins his day-to-day life, preoccupies him, enrages him.
After what he's done to us, absolutely. Anything that freaks him out, and he's got to be freaked out at this point. In fact, I think it shows. I think you can see signs of him being freaked out now.
Yes. It's all over this lawsuit document that dropped yesterday afternoon, which is one of my favorite things in the world to pour through. It was an immense read to go through that document. And part of it was, this is obviously a document that Donald Trump had a significant hand in crafting.
Right. Dictated it, wrote part of it. And the important overall thing to know before we dive into the hilarious details is that he will not get his wish. He will not get a special master. What he's asking for isn't going to happen.
Yes, because the document is laughable. The document should... In a perfect world, the document should disbar the lawyer for signing on to such a ridiculous thing. And in fact, for a period of time there, it looked like Trump was going to represent himself, which was...
Pro se, can you see?
Yeah, that's what pro se means. And it turns out, I think the docket now shows that Lindsey Halligan is the counsel of record in this lawsuit case. And by the way, if you look at a picture of Lindsey Halligan, you'll understand why Trump gave her the job. Because she looks like one of his babes on Fox News or something like that. It looks like she may audition for the wife role in the Fox and Friends.
And you know what? In his misogynistic mind, he believes that having an attractive lawyer like that will really help him in court.
Yeah, that's right.
The judge is going to like her.
Yeah, he's all about central casting. That's what he likes, guys with certain kind of tough guy names like Mad Dog Mattis and anything that looks like he's casting it as a Hollywood casting director.
Right.
That's what he's into. It doesn't matter whether or not they're competent. And clearly, the lawyers he's hired so far have been completely incompetent. We were joking earlier. Bradley Moss had this last night on Lawrence O'Donnell's show that MAGA stands for Make Attorneys Get Attorneys. And so we'll get into Christina Bobbs' legal jeopardy here in just a bit. But here's my favorite thing in this lawsuit that Donald Trump filed yesterday in order to prevent the FBI from going through the boxes of documents that they seized during the search and seizure on August 8th. Plus, they want to get a special master appointed to go through and find whatever privileged or whatever Donald Trump is claiming is privileged, which is not really privileged in those boxes.
Out of all of that, which part is most amusing to you then?
Okay, so this part made me laugh out loud. It's the first two lines in the introduction. At first, it starts by saying, politics cannot be allowed to impact the administration of justice. Then the very next sentence is, President Donald J. Trump is the clear frontrunner in the 2024 Republican presidential primary and in the 2024 general election should he decide to run. That, of course, is politics! He's arguing that politics should help him here.
And you don't put that in a court filing. That's a press release. And that's clearly the kind of thing Trump would say about himself.
Right, right. So that's the starting point for all of this nonsense. Well, actually, the starting point was seeing the receipt and noticing that Donald Trump may have been representing himself, but which turns out to be not necessarily the case.
No, but it was fun to think about for a while, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Hence the opening remark.
I also enjoyed going through the different legal analysts and their perspective on this document as they went through and compiled it. Everyone from Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, to Pope Hat, to Bradley Moss, Andrew Weissman, who's always very Weissman interesting and insightful. Yeah.
Yes.
And in particular, Andrew Weissman wrote yesterday, the new Trump Florida filing opens a wide door for DOJ to walk through. Attorney General Garland can now speak in its filings and address all the factual lies and misrepresentations.
That's right.
So what we may get as a result of Donald Trump filing this lawsuit is a legally documented back and forth between Donald Trump, his representation, and the Department of Justice, where the Department of Justice can now reveal why it was doing what it was doing without necessarily releasing the affidavit.
He's opened that door because, as you always say, Trump always makes things worse for Trump.
Yes. And
he's certainly done that here.
Yeah.
He's given a wide opening to the Justice Department to tell us a lot about what it's looking at.
One of the things that any decent lawyer would have said, what are you doing? No, we don't do that. One of the things is, he confessed to violating the Presidential Records Act throughout this document. Every time he claims executive privilege over a document that he wants to retain, because, of course, they're his, all mine.
It's mine, you understand? Yeah, mine, all mine. Get back in there. Down. Go. Mine.
I'm very sorry, Daffy Duck. I hate to make that comparison. But, you know, he's claiming these documents belong to him under the umbrella of executive privilege, meaning that he still perhaps has documents that are, top secret documents, whatever kinds of documents that he's claiming privilege over. Those are documents that belong back in the hands of the National Archives, for God's sake.
And it seems to reveal that he still thinks he has executive privilege.
That brings us to that National Archives letter to Evan Corcoran from back in May, where it reveals that the National Archives has completely debunked this executive privilege nonsense. The Supreme Court's decision in Nixon v. Administrator of General Services, 433 U.S. 425, 1977, strongly suggests that a former president may not successfully assert executive privilege against the very executive branch in whose name the privilege is invoked. That's the National Archives in this letter. Yeah. So it's complete bullshit. I think Donald Trump is also confused between executive privilege and attorney-client privilege.
Right, which also doesn't apply here. In fact, he's trying to apply a legal principle here that is based on attorney-client privilege. And the thing of it is that he's citing a case, or his lawyers are, that has absolutely nothing to do with the situation he finds himself in. So this is completely off base.
Yeah.
A judge couldn't even work up the energy to laugh this out of court.
You know, we're really just at the very tip of all this as far as the news from the last 24 hours. We're just getting into the finer details here, and there are many more significantly damning things that we've learned about in this time. Okay. Meantime, someone on Twitter who's a legal expert that everyone references, who knows anything about the law, someone named Pope Hat. And I will say, before I read this quote from Pope Hat on Twitter, is that I normally don't like to read opinions by people who use anonymous handles. I prefer people who use their real names or use their real names like you in conjunction with a nickname. You know what I mean?
Hi, I'm Buzz.
But you also use your real name. You don't make any secret of that. Yeah,
we're the same. Yes.
Right. So Pope Hat's reaction said, this is to the lawsuit filing from yesterday. I mean, this is shitty on every level. It's shitty strategy, shitty lawyering, shitty writing, shitty organization. Mm-hmm. It's even shitty as propaganda. It's just incompetent.
Yeah,
it yeah. is. And that's what the document is. It's like a mixture of Donald Trump's stump speech, because it's got all kinds of stuff in there about, it's got poll numbers in there about how he's the front runner for the primaries and the general election in 2024. It's got all kinds of crap about the 2020 election. It's just, it's,
and you know, when he signed off on this document, when he said, yeah, this is the one we're sending to the court, when he signed off that, he had the same feeling that the little boy did in A Christmas Story when he finished writing the essay about what he wanted for Christmas. He was sure it was the best thing that had ever been written. And you know that Trump had that same feeling about this court filing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, when it was going to be Donald Trump representing himself, the first thing I went to is Lionel Hutz. And
I move for a bad court thingy.
That's basically, I mean, to summarize the legal document that was filed yesterday,
right.
This is it.
I move for a bad court thingy.
That's about the level of professionalism and legal erudition that is contained in this particular lawsuit document. It's about on that level, I think.
We're just at the get-go stages of learning everything that happened here, and it's already, if you think it's a lot already, it, as Bob said, it's really just starting. There is so much to come, and every day it appears more obvious that the justice we've been pleading for may finally come. It just very quickly, if I may, I want to just run down and insert, if I make this sidebar into Bob's analysis of this court filing. This is the tip of the iceberg in that he still faces investigation for the coup, the violent and nonviolent part.
Yeah.
What we're talking about now, the retention of classified documents, fundraising for an entity that never existed and for a cause that was no longer active is his campaign. The mysterious disappearance of the Secret Service, Pentagon, and Homeland Security texts.
Yep.
The civil investigation into his finances in New York. The Georgia grand jury investigation in his attempt to find just enough votes to win the state. The possible accessing of voting machines and possible tampering with January 6th committee witnesses. And there's more beyond that. This is what, this is your news future, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at here are Trump's desperate attempts to fight this. And you can see, as Bob is outlining here, just how well that's going to go for him.
Yes. And plus, in the context of these 300 classified documents, this particular story from New York Times that dropped late last night, right on the heels of this lawsuit dropping as well. There's another element here that could land Donald Trump in significant trouble. Trouble that we've heard about in the past in the context of Donald Trump and his henchmen, which is lying to the FBI. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but lying to the FBI could be the thing that takes Trump down, among many other things. It's now risen toward the top of my list. And so we'll get to that in just a second. But it really feels like Donald Trump wrote huge portions of this lawsuit, because it's got a lot of pronouns.
Self-praise. Yeah, a lot of self-praise.
My, I, things like that. My house, you know.
Those don't go in documents like this.
Exactly right. So this is something where, as I said before, Trump hired some attorneys to write this up, because clearly it's got the legalese. It's got, you know, language that Donald Trump wouldn't typically use, that a lawyer would use. But it's so polluted with Donald Trump's ridiculous stream of consciousness nonsense between the footnotes and the crap that's jammed in there. It's like, again, it's like Lionel Hutz.
I move for a bad court thingy.
Combined with a Donald Trump rally or Donald Trump's Troth Central account. It's like those two things as a, you know, like a chimera, as a human animal hybrid merged together in a lab.
One of our legal experts said it looks more like a tweet than a legal filing.
Yes. I just couldn't believe right away he's like saying, oh no, this is, you can't bring politics into an investigation like this. And then he clearly makes an argument for how politics should prevent this from ever going forward. And the DOJ is going to have a field day with this responding to this document.
make no mistake, and Trump uses this a lot. He used it in his messages to the Justice Department in discussing this and warning the Justice Department that a lot of Americans were very angry about this.
Yeah.
No doubt, Trump has millions and millions of followers, and they are loyal to him. And yeah, we're talking millions and millions. But Donald Trump has overestimated the power of that mob.
Yeah.
In his mind, they are a majority. Mm-hmm. And he's using that, or trying to use that, in this court filing, as Bob just outlined, and in his letter, his comments to the Justice Department, a message he wanted passed along to Merrick Garland, that a lot of Americans are very angry about this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I think this is him, again, in this document, overestimating his power.
Yes, he believes that his fanboys will spring into action the second Merrick Garland takes one step further, because that is kind of implied throughout this document, where he's kind of threatening Merrick Garland to say, mm-hmm, look,
it seems that way.
You move forward, the heat is going to get hotter and hotter and hotter as we go. So let's bring the temperature down here.
Yeah.
It's implied.
Even said in the message he asked Brat to pass along to Merrick Garland,
yeah,
he even said in that message, let me know if there's anything I can do to turn down the heat.
Right.
Well, shut the fuck up would be a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. Hal Sparks had a good point on the Stephanie Miller Show this morning, and this is one that I've kind of been mentioning here and there, which is that I don't think there's going to be a civil war. I don't think these guys are capable of executing a civil
organizing.
War. I believe
they are not a well-organized militia.
No, you can't. First of all, you can't have a civil war with a bunch of guys that you can outrun on a city block. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who can't make like half a block without passing out from exhaustion. Obviously, there may be pockets of violence, and I think we should be prepared for things like mass shootings, bomb threats, things like that. There may be individual lone wolves or people conspiring with one of their little weekend warrior militias to engage in some form of terrorism along the way. Anyone who suspects that there's going to be like a 1860s style civil war here with one side with rebels fighting the government forces and they're in battle on a battleground and all that crap. It's not going to happen.
If there is, I want the bugle.
I'll give you the bugle back. Yeah, which is proudly displayed on my shelves, by the way.
I gave Bob a bugle.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's from the Civil War. Yeah, I don't know. It may or may not be, but it looks like it was, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah, it's with my entire library of nerdy Civil War books, so I thank you for that. Yeah.
Sure.
So the DOJ released this brief statement after that filing in Florida, which, by the way, they've chosen a venue where there's a judge who's a Donald Trump appointee, but the venue has
jurisdiction. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. The venue is farther away from Mar-a-Lago than another court, which should have jurisdiction in this particular case. Donald Trump skipped over that one. You know, just wave.
He's trying to make Guido Sarducci.
He waved that one and then just went right to his own appointee.
He's trying to make the rules here. He's trying to set the rules of the game, and it's not, again, it's not going to work.
Right.
That will not fly. Trust us on that.
Oh, God. This thing is insane. He's not going to get the special master. He's not going to get any sort of stay on this. There's just no way this document flies. No.
A special master is an attorney, frequently a judge, who's called in by the judge presiding in the case.
Yeah.
You know, an extra person is called in. It's supposed to be a neutral party, and it is their job to expertly examine evidence to see if it violates attorney-client privilege.
Yeah.
That's the only time.
Yeah.
That's the only time that in a lawsuit such as this there would be a special master. So this is why he's not going to get his request for a special master. Now you know what it is and why he's not going to get it. And as Bob is pointing out, why it's so laughable that he suggested it, why it's so laughable that he suggested a court that's completely the wrong venue. He doesn't get to pick the court. It doesn't work that way.
You know, it would have been even more laughable if he had referred to it as a taint team. Remember the taint team from during, I think it was one of the court cases. I don't know, it was Roger Stone or Paul Manafort, but the term taint team got bandied around quite a bit in that context. And that also had to do with getting a special master to separate out executive privilege documents versus actual documents that they could sift through. And I forget.
Exactly.
Slips my mind which case that was, but I do distinctly remember talking about the courtroom taint team discussion, which I also played this sound for. So, yeah, because we're children. Yeah.
We don't remember exactly what it was, but we know where it's located.
Exactly right. Well, here's the DOJ statement right after the filing dropped yesterday. Yes. They said the August 8th search warrant at Mar-a-Lago was authorized by a federal court upon the required finding of probable cause. The department is aware of this evening's motion. The United States will file its response in court. I can't wait for that response. That's what Andrew Weissman is talking about, how now they can kind of say, well, here's first of all, why this document is a big hunk of shit, and also why we made the decision we made. And that is going to make things worse for Trump. And I tweeted this last night in response to both of these stories. Trump always makes things worse for Trump. Yes. Here is, oh my God, one of the most glaring examples of that maxim that I have ever seen. He is walking right into his own propeller. I should say, not walking, Buzz, he's stumbling.
Right.
Last night, Kimberly and I were talking about this. I was like, he is like Otis from Mayberry stumbling out of the little jail cell where Barney Fife is guarding him, just bumping into shit, falling into a moving propeller somehow. This is, I don't know what is going on. I guess it's just desperation. It's got to be desperation.
To put it in a mature way, Bob and I are excited and happy about the coming of justice. To put it in a less mature way, we're just thrilled that he's not getting anything he wants. He's not getting the special master.
No.
He's not getting a release of the affidavit that justified the search on Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
He's not getting anything he wants anymore,
right.
No matter how much he puffs himself up like an undersea creature or some kind of bird, no matter how he inflates himself, it isn't going to be enough. And we're laughing, and we should all be laughing and enjoying this. As serious as it is, as we said earlier, as terrible as he's made our lives over the last nearly 7 years.
Yeah.
I think we deserve a little schadenfreude there.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, again, as I said at the top, that is my favorite thing about this, is knowing that Donald Trump is most likely obsessing on this, talking everyone's ear off about this and how unfair everyone's being to him, just wallowing in his own misery. And that is, to me, that's one of the best things about these kinds of cases where, you know, as the walls close in on Donald Trump, the anxiety level, the stress level, the panic, the desperation gets worse and worse and worse. And as those feelings and reactions grow, that's when he starts to make bigger and bigger mistakes. And we've already seen kind of playing out in this particular document, certainly since January, since that first giant tranche of documents were handed over back in early January, I believe it was, the 15 boxes. Since then, it's just been one fuck up after another by this guy.
And like any criminal, as you just said, those mistakes keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is a common trait among criminals. And the more desperate he becomes, the crazier the attempts become. I'm wondering, though, Bob, at the same time, I think there's some kind of internal denial there at Mar-a-Lago, because Jared was on Fox News saying that he and Ivanka were playing golf with Dad the other day. And he was remarking to Trump, you know, how silly the Democrats look, how you know, trying to get, they were always trying to get him and they were always failing in their view, and they all had a good laugh about that. In their view, they think we're failing. it's not that way at all.
No. Take a look around you. See, to me, that's completely self-delusion right there. That is 100%. That is Christopher Guest character self-delusion happening. And it's so clear to anyone who's linked to objective reality in this situation has to see the legal jeopardy that Donald Trump has put himself in. There is no one else to blame in this but Donald Trump. His own stupidity and ignorance of how the presidency is supposed to work. His own misconceptions about how, what kind of power he retained, what kind of power he held as president. From day one, he was entirely out of his depth in that office. He had no idea, no concept what it means to be the chief executive of the United States.
He thought he did.
Yeah, he thought he did. Based on watching Fox News Channel. This is the big disconnect that we see most commonly when it comes to Trump world, is their concept of leadership isn't about policy or how to negotiate something in terms of legislation, how to tackle an issue, how to handle being the president of the United States. This is all about Donald Trump PR. Throwing red meat. It's about PR.
PR and politics.
They believe leadership is about churning out red meat in this Play-Doh factory of bullshit.
Not coincidentally, that's what the Republican Party has become. A party that was once about policy is no longer has a policy. Right. They no longer have a plan.
Yeah.
They no longer have a set of ideals. What they have is throwing shade. That's all they're about now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and last night, just one last thing before we take a short break here.
Yes.
You tweeted out last night that the Justice Department has subpoenaed the National Archives for more documents from the Trump administration.
I think their concern is, hey, we've been trying to tell, honestly, the Biden administration's intelligence community for months that about these documents being removed to Mar-a-Lago and what they had gotten back at that point. And they realized, you know, gosh, this stuff is threatening to national security. This is very real stuff.
Right.
And so they passed this, they called this to the attention of the intelligence community, which to our knowledge has still not responded to that, to those threats, or to those to the threats that were created by the breaching of those documents. And I think that's what their primary concern is. But clearly the National Archives, and I say good for them, all of their statements, they are very quick to deny and disprove all of the false claims of Donald Trump.
Gotcha.
It really is kind of the archives versus Trump at this point, and I'm rooting for archives.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of documents, we've got a lot more to come here. We got to dig into this New York Times piece from last night. I think there were four different reporters on this, including Maggie Haberman. If half of this turns out to be true, this goes back to what we were talking about with regard to Trump Russia. If like 30% of all the reporting from Trump Russia were accurate, it still was going to be a gigantic story, a gigantic scandal, a gigantic criminal enterprise.
There are so many things in here. Pick one that could be used to criminally charge him. And I would like us to again address the question very briefly about whether Trump will go to prison, whether we'll see him behind bars. And maybe we could do that as we finish up our discussion about this incredible bombshell, true bombshell New York Times piece.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Let's do that. But first, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, where do you listen to podcasts, Buzz? Do you have a favorite podcast player?
I use Apple.
Apple, yeah.
I also use the Patreon app, of course.
Yes, and that is actually the best way to listen to the show, if you download the Patreon app. But first, you have to subscribe for at least $1 a month. But if you're only hearing this part of the show, the free portion of the show on Apple Podcasts, you're only hearing the first two-thirds of the show. There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday episode, right?
That's right. And with all this going on now, we're not going to be able to squeeze everything into our allotted time here. So
yes,
if you want to get the whole picture, do like a lot of other people are doing right now. down. Hop on board, please.
The scope of the news is so enormous, there's just not enough time to get everything into the free portion of the show. So if you subscribe to the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com, plus there's a link under the logo at BobSeska.com. Sign up for the Shadow Docket. You're going to get the entire range of what we're covering here on the podcast, from Trump's crimes all the way down to some fun stuff that we throw in at the end and all points in between. To get the full course, to get the full dose of news, you're going to want to subscribe to the Shadow Docket podcast. It's completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it's only going to cost you $5 per month. And, wow. and you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. It's just us. The two of us here, that's it. No one else. We got to do this ourselves. Yeah.
Is it justice or is it just us?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you for that.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska.
God, one of my favorites here on the show is Betsy Aide and the Well-Known Strangers. This is one of my favorite tracks we've ever played. This is a song called Wandering Child from their Pathaway EP, wellknownstrangers.com. Link in the description. This should be in everyone's record collection now.
God, I love this.
Unstoppable.
It's very current. It's very present. It's very now. It really seems to be it reflects the feeling of the times. I love this.
Yes, indeed. And Betsy Aide, she was a competitor on The Voice. You know that talent show, game show thing, The Voice, which I have never, ever seen. Although I did go and watch Betsy Aide's performance on The Voice, and it was stupendous, of course, because just an immense vocalist. And just pulse pounding, wonderful stuff. It's like a roll down your windows and sing along kind of thing, huh?
I didn't catch it because it was on at the same time as America's Kids Got Dancing. couldn't make it, but I love this.
Need to make that show happen, huh? BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. And thank you for doing that. Okay. So let's talk about, you mentioned before we took a break about Donald Trump and prison time.
Yeah.
Interesting. Kimberly asked the same question of me on Friday's after party on our Patreon page, by the way, BobSeskaShow.com to subscribe.
It seems to be the question on everyone's lips now. And yes. Rightly so.
It's anyone's guess, really, whether or not Donald Trump is going to do actual prison time, because there is this outstanding problem of Secret Service protection. Where
house arrest.
Ex-presidents still get that. Yeah.
I've been talking to fellow Democrats, and we decided that we might be okay with house arrest if it was very real, if it was very strict.
Yeah.
We could see that happening.
God, if it's house arrest, I hope it's not like at Mar-a-Lago. You know, where he can play golf and he can go to the pool and he can hobnob with guests and do all of his usual bullshit in the same outfit that he always wears. Right. I mean, I don't know. It can't be that. If it's house arrest, it can't be that.
Right.
It can't just
right.
be like Nathan Lane in Only Murders in the Building, where he just gets the ankle bracelet and is able to go around like he normally would.
He hated Camp David. Maybe we could lock him up there.
Right. Well, I mean, the other possibility that Jody Hamilton brought up is you deputize a couple of prison guards
as Secret Service agents. No, that's not going to happen. I wish it could, but I don't see the Secret Service sentencing its own agents to prison to keep an eye on Donald Trump.
Did Spiro Agnew ever do time? Did he ever do prison time?
No. They came into his office and said, there's some Republicans who knew what was happening to Agnew, came into his office and said, here's the deal. You resign or you get arrested.
Okay.
While you're in, don't make us arrest a sitting vice president. Resign.
So we've never had an instance where someone with Secret Service protection has been sentenced to prison time. Not
to my knowledge. I don't believe
I guess the only option then would be some form of house arrest, but it can't be anything, as I said, it can't be anything too cushy. Bedminster.
Somebody suggested a cage in an art museum like Hannibal Lecter.
Which is my favorite one. Yeah. Yes. I don't know that a federal penitentiary, a federally run prison, would preclude Secret Service agents being on guard there on shifts. You know what I mean?
It seems to me they would have to rotate regularly it is, in effect, a prison sentence for the Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
Apparently some of them deserve it. Maybe we could use them. It seems unfair to sentence them to prison.
You know what they could do is use that basement where he's keeping the documents. Just build a prison cell that Hannibal Lecter had under the mental institution in Baltimore, where there's that acrylic wall that separates you, and then the drawer that you slide across with the stone. No windows, just a windowless cave with, like, right next to him, just a guy who's chronically masturbating.
Well, he certainly shouldn't have contact with a lot of people. He certainly wouldn't be allowed to tweet. He certainly wouldn't be allowed to speak publicly. And I think that would make a lot of us very happy to know that he was confined in some way physically and totally confined in his ability to speak, and talk to people.
Well, see, ultimately, in all seriousness, if there were some sort of house arrest scenario, he could absolutely not have access to media. No. He should not be allowed to post on Truth Central. He shouldn't be allowed to do call-ins to Sean Hannity or Fox and Friends or whatever.
He has to disappear from the public eye, and whatever the law can do to make that happen, I think would satisfy a lot of us.
Yeah,
To know that he is isolated, to know that he can do no more damage, would be tremendously satisfying to a lot of us.
But there's always the possibility, and I say this semi-seriously, that Donald Trump actually flees for his life. Grabs a go bag full of Aquanet.
He got his passport back.
Ketchup, yeah. So. Yeah, the go bag has ketchup, Aquanet, and golf balls.
Maybe ketchup is how he got that orange complexion. I don't know.
God damn. But, I mean, fleeing to a non-extradition country, I've been talking about this since, I don't know, 2017 or something like that. Get ready. He's gonna leave the country, and he's going to take he's going to come up with, like, some sort of fake name, like Joey Jojo Shabadoo Jr., and hide out in Moscow next to Edward Snowden or something.
Justice Department prosecutors have been known to show up at the airport just as somebody was about to board a plane, and I wouldn't rule that out, especially if there are serious charges against or pending against Donald Trump.
Has he ever faced prison time this seriously in his life? I don't think he ever
never.
Has.
So no.
It's a big question mark as to how he would react in that scenario.
Yes.
It's a big question mark as to what would happen to him. So this is like, I mean, we're spending some time having fun with this, but ultimately there's going to be some judge that's going to come up with a solution that is applicable, probably working hand in hand with prosecutors from the Department of Justice, and determining, well, hell, what do we do about this ex-president who needs Secret Service protection, also need to, sentence him to some sort of reasonable prison term that is commensurate with his crimes.
And maybe he will be locked up. you know, that would be unprecedented, but everything about this is unprecedented. The word unprecedented doesn't even really apply anymore because this is how things are now.
Yeah.
They're all unprecedented.
Okay, so this piece, Maggie Haberman, Jody Cantor, Adam Goldman, Ben Protas, one of the biggest bombshells we've seen in the course of covering Donald Trump and his various shenanigans. First of all, this tranche of documents, 300 classified documents have been recovered from Trump since he left office. So it's not
including,
just,
including some of the nation's highest secrets, some of the nation's most secret secrets, the top secrets. And this is what the National Archives is concerned about.
Yes. Special access program, SAP materials, SAP materials. That rises to a level above TSSCI, which is pretty goddamn classified. In fact, that's the official government description of what those documents are. Pretty goddamn classified. that's one we haven't covered yet. So, but included in the documents, we have documents from the CIA. We have documents from the National Security Agency, the NSA, for fuck's sake. Right. What is Donald Trump doing with NSA documents, CIA documents, in the basement at Mar-a-Lago under the prime rib bar somewhere? You know what I mean? It's Hal Sparks' theory that the padlock, the second lock that they put on the door to that storage area, was just hanging there. It wasn't actually locked. I mean, there have been so many people in and out of there, and we have video of people moving in boxes in and out of that storage space. We have people transferring files from one box to another.
And the concern is the reason people, various people, were carrying boxes of documents in and out of that basement storage room is so that they could go electronically scan them so that Trump will have them.
Wow.
I even heard, and you know, boy, we don't know what to believe when we first hear theories like this.
Yes, Michael I know where you're going with this.
Michael Cohen believes that it's Trump's plan. This was Trump's get out of jail free card. Not only is he covering up various crimes by having these documents, but he hoped to threaten, blackmail the United States by threatening to release or to actually release them to Iran, the Soviet Union, and China, among others. As you know, either you let me off the hook legally, or I give your enemies these secrets. You know, we don't know if that's true or not, but we know Donald Trump, and we have to think that's plausible.
I did a whole rant on Friday's After Party about this, about how I'm so sick and tired of hearing from, whether it's Maggie Haberman saying that Donald Trump likes tchotchkes, or Jesse Waters saying, oh, he's just a mementos guy, or there was some other Trump supporter on cable news over the past few days who was saying, oh, it was because it was, he's compiling his memoirs. That's why he wanted the document.
That
is absolute horseshit. Everything we know about Donald Trump going back to the 70s indicates that he is a transactional operator.
Right.
Everything he does is designed as, as a quid pro quo, exactly like what happened with Zelensky and Burisma and the whole thing with extorting Ukraine. That was all about, okay, here, you're going to get these you're going to get these missiles, and in exchange, what are you going to do for me now? That's what he's all about. He's all about the quid pro quo. So it's very obvious that he took these documents in order to trade them. At the very least, bringing people down to the storage space and saying, hey, check out the cool shit I have. Look at this.
Bob, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we elected him.
So CIA documents, National Security Agency documents, and the FBI documents. There are also documents pertaining to the FBI spanning a variety of topics of national security interest. A person briefed on the matter said Trump went through the boxes himself in late 2021, according to multiple people briefed on his efforts before turning those documents over.
Why is that important? Because now he can't blame someone else for it. And the FBI is testing all of these documents for fingerprints to see not only if Trump handled them, but if perhaps people the government is not fond of were handling them as well.
I wonder if there's surveillance video of Donald Trump sifting through the boxes. Maybe there is.
Probably probably not. I think the security video they have, I don't know if we have it yet, but we know that it exists. I guess the Justice Department has it. But it's hallway video. That's why we see people coming in and out. So it's a security hallway video. I would be very surprised if Trump was on camera when he sifted through. It'd be great if he was, and as stupid as many of his moves have been lately, you know, it's possible.
Well, we know that they were transferring files between boxes. That's one of the bombshells that we've seen here.
What's that about?
Yeah, but I don't know that that would be taking place in the hallway, would it? Wouldn't that happen?
Well, no. What I'm saying is we know that people, various people, carried boxes in and out of that storeroom based on a hallway security camera. So the camera in the hallway shows various people carrying boxes in and out. I don't know that we have more than that. The Justice Department would know, and that would come out in the case, I would suppose.
Okay, gotcha. Well, at the conclusion of the search this month, the August 8th search, officials left with 26 boxes, including 11 sets of material marked as classified, comprising scores of additional documents. Scores!
Right.
One set had the highest level of classification, top secret, sensitive, compartmented information. And highest. We've also heard that, also these SAP documents as well. Let's talk about the Christina Bob thing, because she signed this document saying that there were no more classified documents in their possession. She attested to that to the FBI. What do we know about lying to the FBI? That is a serious fucking crime.
Especially when a lawyer says it and signs their name to a legal document committing that lie.
Yes. So did Donald Trump order Christina Bob to sign this document? Did Donald Trump lie to his legal representation saying that, I've gone through the boxes. There are no more top secret documents in here. You can attest to this. Go forth and sign this document. Did he? We don't know yet. But it's entirely possible that Donald Trump aided and abetted lying to the FBI.
Sure.
In the form of Christina Bob. Oh,
the list of crimes and potential crimes here is so long now, especially in light of this New York Times bombshell last night.
I mean, Donald Trump could go to prison for this alone, just in the process of
any
covering up the crime.
Any one of these things, and there's a long list of them now.
Right. On June 3rd, Jay Bratt, who's the chief of the counter-espionage section of the National Security Division of the Justice Department, went to Mar-a-Lago to meet with two of Trump's lawyers, Evan Corcoran and Christina Bob, and retrieve any remaining classified material to satisfy the subpoena. Mr. Corcoran went through the boxes himself to identify classified materials beforehand, according to two people familiar with his efforts. Mr. Corcoran showed Mr. Bratt the basement storage room where he said the remaining material had been kept. Mr. Trump briefly came to see the investigators during that visit. Mr. Bratt and the agents who joined him were given a sheaf of classified material, according to two people familiar with the meeting. Mr. Corcoran then drafted a statement, which Ms. Bob, who said to be the custodian of the documents, signed.
Right.
It asserted that, to the best of her knowledge, all classified material had been returned, according to two different sources.
The custodian of the document, an attorney at law, an officer of the court, signed and this false declaration that all the documents had been turned over when, in fact, they had not.
And around that time, that's when we get Donald Trump quoted as saying, "It's not theirs, it's mine, 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 mine.
It's mine, you understand? Mine, all mine. Get back in there. Down, down, down. Go, go, go. Mine, mine, mine."
Yes.
That's so perfect.
Yes, it is. So I mean, the big question is, why? Why did he retain these documents? Why was he so desperate to hang on to these documents? What was it that was going to benefit him in really pushing the boundaries of law, and in fact, stepping over the boundaries of the law, violating the law, lying, having his attorney lie to the FBI, allegedly? What was it that required this degree of obstruction and obfuscation in these negotiations with both the National Archives and the FBI?
Transactional potential. Transactional potential.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is not because Donald Trump just loves his tchotchkes and he's like a little kid who's selfish and greedy. That's not it.
No.
He wants to use the documents to increase his power, increase his wealth, or as Michael Cohen is theorizing, to blackmail the government to keep his ass out of prison. There is always an exchange. You know, I give you these. What do you give me in return? There should be no question about this. No question whatsoever. It was like when Donald Trump first appeared on the escalator. All these red hats, or soon to be red hats, were like, oh, who's this handsome lad descending the escalator? I've never heard of him before. What's he all about? Well, duh, you fucking idiots. We've known about what he's all about since the 70s, for God's sake. Thanks for not catching up to, you know, the news.
It feels as though the dam is about to break. The dam is very full right now, as you can hear.
Uh-huh.
And it feels as though that which has attempted to contain it is about to collapse and burst. And even Mary Trump is asking, what's it going to take?
Yeah.
What's it going to take at this point? We have so many things for which he could be criminally charged, tried, and convicted. And why aren't we there? And there's a growing chorus of us asking that same question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my hunch is the day or week after the midterm election happens, that's when we could likely see an indictment. Now, I could be immensely wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it happens any day now. I hope it happens tomorrow, for God's sake.
That's a good guess.
But we're in that 90-day period, and whether it's actually 60 days or 90 days is irrelevant. I think we're pretty goddamn close to the midterms, and as we know, I think the hesitance will be extreme when it comes to the timing of indictments being handed down with all of this.
Well, the Rocky Mountain Mike song that we opened with, Crime After Crime, of Marianne Ann Arbor singing it, did ask at one point, give us something this fall.
Yeah.
It is specific. So since the song asked for this fall, and you think it's this fall, I think it's this fall.
Yeah, I think something is going to happen. Donald Trump is going to be indicted, whether it's these three crimes that Judge Reinhardt saw probable cause for, or if it's lying to the aiding and abetting the obstruction of justice, lying to the FBI. I mean, this is just in this one particular case. And of course, we have numerous other instances that he could be indicted for as well. I don't think we need to worry that Donald Trump is going to sidestep a criminal trial in all of this. This is going to happen. It's which thing lands on the home plate first.
And we're only a week or so away from the next round of January 6 hearings on Capitol Hill.
Yep.
Load up on popcorn. Buy stock in the companies if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Get your Jiffy Time stock ready, because there's going to be a lot to see. A lot is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read things. We shouldn't prosecute him. People trying to be moderate, saying we shouldn't prosecute him. We should let the people decide, because if we prosecute him, then there's going to be a big uprising and this won't be settled and blah, blah, blah. The best way to settle is with an election. Well, you and I know that an election isn't going to settle it either in the minds of these people. We must continue to pursue justice. And I said another thing I think I got right in terms of predictions is that we would reach a point where the Justice Department would have no choice but to file charges. And I think we're very close to that. It's going to be hard to match the timing. I don't know if justice can wait until after the election, as much as the department may be tempted to do so. Their hand is being forced by the weight of the evidence.
Well, it's down to the grand jury. In this particular instance, what the FBI is ultimately doing is providing evidence to hand over to the grand jury. And it's the grand jury that will hand down indictments. And we don't know what's happening inside that particular room. We don't know what these people are examining or what their thought process is or their timetables are. But we will learn about that in due course. And I think to sit back and enjoy the discomfort, because he is going to face a federal prosecution, and it is going to happen. It's just a matter of how many. We see that in October. I believe it's October. There's going to be this second trial in New York City with Alvin Bragg prosecuting the Trump Organization. So that's something to watch for as well. I'm not sure if you had that one in your list as well, but we can add that to the docket.
Right.
And this is all great stuff, man. I mean, the most dangerous bully in American history is in serious legal jeopardy that will result in a prosecution.
That's what we're happy about. Don't mistake our enthusiasm here for just wanting revenge on Trump. Although that is, like I said, we do have that coming.
Yeah.
But this is about, we're excited about the return of justice.
Yeah.
We're excited about the return of truth and common sense. And I think the justice system can accomplish that, and the weight of the evidence can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're excited, and we hope that you join us in our optimism, because it has come so far now. It's really hard to be skeptical, in my mind, about what's going to happen, whether justice will be served. It seems obvious to me that it will be. It seems obvious to me that justice is unavoidable at this point.
Didn't we already see a story where there was someone infiltrating Mar-a-Lago, like a Chinese spy? And I wonder how secure Mar-a-Lago would be if Donald Trump, you know, accidentally left a key card for someone to just walk in there and get stuff in exchange for some form of payment or favors or something like that.
One of his supporters, a pastor from somewhere or something, was at Mar-a-Lago, and he said he saw the Secret Service agents, and he says, I just wandered around from room to room, and they didn't seem to mind.
They didn't
seem to pay any attention. And as Bob said, that padlock that they asked the Justice Department or the National Archives, somebody asked Trump to at least put a lock on the door in the storeroom where this stuff was kept until this could be sorted out. And I guess they did, but as Bob said, maybe they didn't lock it. But it had been unlocked, and a lock is easily cut with a good set of bolt cutters.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't secure. And with people like a Chinese spy and a youth pastor from somewhere in America being able to wander wherever they want on the grounds without interference from the Secret Service, we remember the dinner where Trump had the glorious chocolate cake with President Xi from China.
Yeah.
And he spilled all kinds of crap there. He was reading classified stuff in front of Xi out loud. So how secure is Mar-a-Lago? The answer in my mind is not at all.
There was a container of documents in the closet in Donald Trump's office at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
There's no indication that there was any lock on that closet. So you've got maids coming in there, maintenance people coming in and out of there, other officials going in and out of there. Doesn't Stephen Miller work at Mar-a-Lago for Donald Trump? Isn't he part of Donald Trump's post-presidency entourage?
I can't confirm that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, there are all kinds of people who don't have clearance to look at these documents, who have access to or easy access if they know what they're looking for. NSA documents, CIA documents. What's contained in those documents? Reality Winner went to prison for 5 years for walking out with one. Oh, it was just like one document.
This is hundreds of documents.
Mm-hmm. Good God. You know, justice, the rule of law, does not mean taking a back seat to the outrage of a particular guy's fan base. That is not the way this shit works. So if Donald Trump thinks he's going to wiggle out of this shit by saying, oh, yeah, my fanboys are going to go batshit as soon as you indict me or do anything wrong here.
If we like numbers, ABC News has learned that in terms of counting the pages, the number of pages, 700 pages of classified material.
Oh, my God.
Amidst those more than 300 classified documents, some of them, again, the nation's top secrets.
Yep.
This is a time, I mean, this is all extremely disconcerting, to say the least.
Yep.
And so that's why our joy seems a little awkward in light of the fact that these are horrible, scary, frightening things that we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of jeopardy we are, will be, or have been in that we didn't know about because of these breaches. I hate to say breaches because it makes me think of pants. But because of these breaches, we don't know what kind of risk we have been or will be in. And so it's very serious. It's very terrifying. These are the highest crimes a person can commit against this country. And there's a dark side to this, obviously.
Yeah.
But again, we're taking considerable joy for, I believe, the third week in a row in the comfort that justice is coming.
I mean, are Mar-a-Lago guests resting their drinks down on NSA documents, you know, like as coasters or something like that? I mean, I don't know.
Rings on them. Well, you know, like I said, some of them have ketchup on them, so.
That's right. Okay, there's more to come. It's going to be a long show, so notify the affiliates. Back with more after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
This is brand new to the show. Afton Wolf is the name of this recording artist. A song called So Purple from his brand new album, Late Night Radio. Yeah. AftonWolf.com/home.
Yeah. I think he would have a huge hit with this in New Orleans. This is this would rocket to number one in New Orleans.
I fucking love this. You like Tom Waits?
Yeah.
You gotta get this album. Afton Wolf. That's AftonWolfe. And again, the song is called So Purple. Link in the description under this episode. Support Afton Wolf and Betsy Aiden and the Well-Known Strangers. Just go to BobSeska.com. Find this episode dated 8/23/22. And get downloading, why don't you? All right. BobSeska.com/music to submit. Okay. God, there's still more dings, huh?
Oh, there are lots of dings today.
Yes. Just a bit of a note here on something completely unrelated to everything we're talking about.
Oh, good.
Please do not pester me about watching the new House of the Dragon Game of Thrones prequel show, because I will not be watching this. I'm not going to subject myself to the torture porn and body horror and just sucker punches against the viewing audience that was all over the place in Game of Thrones. I watched Game of Thrones from start to finish, and there were so many occasions when I was like, fuck this show. It was like, I think we all did that. I think we all went through this love-hate situation with Game of Thrones.
I don't watch these shows either, so I'm vague on the details as usual. But yeah. HBO says that the premiere, what is this, House of Doors? What's the name of the show? What's the name of the show?
House of Dragons. Or as, House of Dragons. Or as Rude Pundit called it, Dragon House.
Yeah, Dragon House. HBO says it's their biggest premiere ever.
Okay. Yeah.
And that makes me sad to know that so many people would jump on board, especially after the entire debacle with Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. And as predicted, it's loaded already with mutilations. In fact, Clifford on our Patreon page said there were multiple mutilations and a bloody, brutal, I'm not even going to say it, because I read about it and I'm like, oh, good. I feel completely vindicated for not watching this fucking show. Yeah. Because it's fucking torture porn is what it is. From start to finish, fucking torture porn.
I guess when people come home from a hard day at work and they look around and they see the actual news, a little torture, a little gore, just about right.
Yes, they make you love a character and then they brutally murder that character.
Sure,
The Game of Thrones way. And so, no, please do not bug me. I get it. Strange New Worlds. Thank you for pestering me. Whoever pestered me about watching that show, I thank you for it, because that is now like almost tied with Next Generation as being my favorite Star Trek series. So yes, that's great. But I'm telling you right now, there's nothing you can do or say to get me to watch the Dragon House show. Never, ever, ever, ever. Okay.
Me neither.
So that part aside here, before we wrap up the free portion of the show, I want to mention a couple things real quick here. First, Kash Patel reportedly planned on publishing some of the documents on his website, according to ABC News.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure this is Kash Patel saying, hey, look how important I am.
Mm-hmm.
I got some access to these documents, and guess what? I'm going to put them up on my website. How about that? www.cashpatelisadouchebag.com. So I don't know what it is, but yes, sure. That's Cash Patel is at least threatening to do that.
Exactly. That's the write-in character, just like Trump.
Right. Your Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, threatened death to the woke in a speech, a Turning Point speech the other day. This is Ron DeSantis threatening. He did a whole like Winston Churchill style speech here, or like a section of it was inspired by Winston Churchill's famous remarks.
Rhonda Stalin, please. Rhonda Stalin.
He is such an empty suit nothing. This is now like the next great hope of the Republican Party. This guy, listen to this horseshit.
We can't just stand idly by we can't just stand idly by while woke ideology ravages every institution in our society.
He's fine. Mm.
We must fight the woke in our schools. We must fight the woke in our businesses. We must fight the woke in government agencies. We can never, ever surrender to woke ideology. And I'll tell you this, the state of Florida is where woke goes to die.
Nice, nice. Threatening death to American citizens who have a certain point of view that doesn't agree with you, Ron DeSantis.
If we had the kind of reporters that we ought to have, every single one of them would be asking every Republican who uses the word woke, tell me what that means.
Yes.
What is woke?
Right.
Because if you want to talk about hamana, that's what you're going to get when you ask Republicans to define woke.
Yeah.
They can't even tell you what it is without indicting themselves. This needs to be challenged every single time the word woke is spoken by these a-holes. Somebody needs to challenge it and say, what are you talking about?
And what does he mean by Florida is where woke goes to die? That's the follow-up question.
You know, I don't think he meant that literally, but considering the people he's appealing to, as I said last week, you basically have two kinds of Republicans.
Yeah.
You have your idiots like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who actually believes that crap, and then you have DeSantis, who knows it's all BS, but because he's slicky boy from college, he's using the Marjorie Taylor Greene nonsense to appeal to the Trump crowd, to that radical redneck base.
Yeah, well, and that's the entire thing. His excuse is, well, I was just being figurative. It's just a metaphor for fighting at the ballot box. But that's not, again, it's not how they're going to take it.
Right. He probably was, but maybe he also knows that some yahoos out there with guns will take that literally.
Yeah.
They seem to believe and be gullible about a lot of things.
Right.
This today, and I think this is what you were leading up to, is the Florida primary election. I do believe that Val Demings will go on to the general election, and I believe very strongly that she will defeat Marco Rubio, and Florida will have purple Senate representation, that at least one of Florida's senators will be Democrat. I don't know how we're going to do against DeSantis. His approval rating, as I understand it here in Florida, is above 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So beating him is going to be hard, but I don't think it's impossible. I think Charlie Crist will rise above Nikki Fried very easily to win today's primary.
Yeah.
And I hope he can make inroads against DeSantis, and I intend to help.
The entire thing with Michael J. Fox and the American president talking about how Americans will drink the sand because they're so thirsty for leadership, they'll drink the sand.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis is the sand. I mean, talk about the bargain basement standard bearer for the Republic. It's descended down to Ron DeSantis is the last best hope, minus Trump, for the Republican Party. And that's, we must fight the woke in our schools. We must fight the woke in our businesses. We must fight the woke in our government agencies. Okay. All right.
He's little Hitler, and he's very dangerous, and he is likely to be. I think he is, regardless of what anyone else thinks or says.
Yeah.
I believe Ron DeSantis is the front runner for the Republican nomination in 24. I also know we're getting ahead of ourselves,
yeah.
but as things stand now, I think he's a shoe-in. He's better looking than Trump. He's thinner than Trump. He's better spoken than Trump.
Barely.
He has more decorum than Trump, and yet he appeals to all those same values, which makes him, I think, a very strong Republican candidate,
yeah.
and because of his Hitler-like qualities, pray that he doesn't get elected. And Bob's explained before why you don't want that to happen.
Anyone who says Ron DeSantis is a serious Republican worthy of consideration should not be taken seriously. Thank you. I'm just saying.
I didn't say he was serious. I'm just saying he's the front runner.
Well, I'm just saying yeah. that there are a couple of never Trumpers who have
right.
recently said something to the effect of, "Well, Ron DeSantis looks like he's a serious Republican." I think it was either David Frum or Bill Kristol. Said something.
It was Frum.
Frum.
I was all over that. I know Kimberly's been all over David Frum about this.
You both
and
were.
I've been all over David Frum about this. And, I hope we made a mark.
Big election tonight in the New York 19th, a bellwether special election that may be a predictor of what November will look like. This is the race to replace Democrat Antonio Delgado in the New York 19th.
Right.
The matchup in this district where Biden carried less than 2 points in 2020. It's between Pat Ryan, who's an Army veteran, Ulster County executive, who campaigned aggressively on abortion rights, and Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, who has framed his bid as a referendum on the Biden administration's economic failures. I think there's like 2 points separating these two candidates, and we will find out tonight if Pat Ryan comes out on top. That could be pretty good news for the Democrats in November.
You know, one of the ways that Trump has most hurt the Republican Party this year in particular is his endorsement of the crazies, the extreme right-wing, insane, stupid candidates. Those are the ones Trump's backing.
Yeah.
And they're winning in many cases, 8 out of 10, I believe, winning their primaries.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be the candidates who will face our normal human Democrats in the general election this fall. This is a great advantage for us. Do you know that there was some question as to whether Mark Kelly could survive the general election this fall in Arizona?
Yeah.
He now leads his Republican opponent by 16 points.
Wow.
The tide has turned and is still turning.
Yes.
So keep an eye on this, and including this bellwether race tonight in New York.
Yeah, and one last thing here before we wrap up. There was this tweet that went out from a candidate for Arizona Attorney General, Abe Hamada. And the Hamada tweeted, "I'm tired of Republicans playing nice. People will hate what we do no matter what. It's time for results." And then you had the tweet of the day yesterday. Take it from a Republican. You will hate what they do.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. 100%.
Let's all run with that kind of thing, huh? We can win
yes,
this. You know, there was a time we were not so sure, but now there's great reason to funnel this energy and get this across the finish line.
Exactly right. And by the way, if you're still concerned about Democratic messaging lagging behind Republican messaging, you're not paying attention. Republican messaging blows goats. I'm here to tell you. This guy tweeted, "People will hate what we do no matter what."
Yeah, he's slick at this PR game, isn't he?
Yes, and they're back to the border nonsense again week or 10 days or so. It's all about Biden border crisis, which, once again, I'm invoking Hal Sparks a lot these days, but he said maybe that's an ironic hashtag.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saying it ironically because they always praise Biden's success at the border. Record number of seizures of fentanyl, record number of seizures of meth, on top of stopping migrants and possible terrorists from coming across the border, defeating Donald Trump's record as far as stopping those people. So
maybe the lesson in this is a lie cannot endure.
Yes.
Lying cannot endure.
Do not believe that the Republicans have the market cornered on great messaging. That does not happen. People will hate us no matter what. That is the Republican message, at least from this guy.
We're proud of it, yeah.
Yeah, candidate for Arizona Attorney General. He's a former Maricopa County prosecutor.
Uh-huh.
This is their guy. Good luck, Republicans, with this bullshit. All right, as we said before, the shadow docket's coming up next. We got lots of stuff to pack into that. Yeah, more dings. Lots more dings. All right, that is BobSeskaShow.com. That's the website. That is our Patreon page. If you go scroll right on down, you'll see the button to select the shadow docket shows. $5 a month. It's all it's going to cost you. It's like pennies,
now more
pennies
than
per
ever.
Episode. Yes, yes. Yeah. You're only going to get the full dose of news if you listen to Bo's show. The free show, Shadow Docket, After Party, all the rest of it. All right, BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Let's see what else. Yeah.
Surely there's something.
Yeah, there's always something else. Stephanie Miller shows at StephanieMiller.com. Kimberly Johnson, right. Patreon.com/StartMeUp. Yeah. Jody from TheBunker.com.
Yes.
At FromTheBunkerJr. Okay, Shadow Doc is next. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
I move for a bad court thingy.